You know, I was thinking this week when we were at the house a few days ago, we were talking about Christmas songs, Christmas carols, and isn't it pretty wild? I don't know if you ever really pay attention to some of the words that we sing in these Christmas carols, but it's actually pretty funny, and it's actually kind of scary in some ways, too. One of the ones that I was specifically, Beth and I were talking about this one this week, is the song, Do You Hear What I Hear? And I don't know if you've ever paid attention to some of the lyrics of that song, but it's really funny. One of the lines is, a little lamb talking to a shepherd boy. How many know if we've got a lamb talking to a shepherd boy, we might need to help the shepherd boy a little bit, you know? And then the other part of that song is, a child shivering in the cold, let us bring him silver and gold. I mean, why don't we get the kid a coat, you know, some hot chocolate? Let's warm him up, you know what I'm saying? Like, just anyways, I don't know. And then I think about Silent Night because it's one of my favorite songs and never have still quite figured out what a round yon virgin even is. I don't know. Maybe you know that. But anyways, I just think love Christmas songs. And you know, we're bumping, 103.9 here in Fort Wayne, 95.1. I mean, so we enjoy our Christmas songs. I've had my Michael Bublé CD in, my Christmas one he did a few years ago. Come on, somebody. And so love that guy's voice. But when you think of Silent Night, and when you think, when I think about it, I would say it this way: it feels like, it seems like a really peaceful song, and I think it is. But to say that the night was real peaceful in the evening and that Jesus was born into would be absolutely not true, because it was everything but silent. There was a lot going on with Mary and Joseph at the time when they had Jesus. Mary, think about it, that she was in an arranged marriage with an older guy whom she didn't love. I mean, that sounds like a rough day. How many ladies would like arranged marriages still to be something today? All right. And then she gets pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And then she's ostracized by her family. She's alone. She's scared. Her and Joe, man, Joseph, they've got to pay taxes. And then girlfriend's 9 months pregnant, riding on a donkey and that's taking miles to get where they need to go. All the ladies in here that, you know, can understand, my goodness in heaven, how many know that sounds like an awful time? And then the inn was full. The hotel was full. I mean, there was no Ritz-Carlton there. I mean, they were trying to find the next best thing, and it was full, and they ended up, you know, having baby Jesus there in a barn-type setting, and there he was in a manger. And just think, it's incredible to think about, you know, when we sing these songs, but to also realize, man, it was a tough time that Jesus was born into, a time of real adversity. I want to read this scripture. If you haven't grabbed your message notes, go ahead and grab those. In Luke chapter 2, it says this, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And so regardless of what you and I are going through here on this earth, you and I can have peace in our life. And if you weren't here last week, one of the things I ended my message with that I really felt very strong in my spirit, something real prophetic for us as a church in this particular season, and I'll hear this a couple times during a year, but just a loud voice of the Holy Spirit just telling me that this is a real season of peace that God is wanting to bring to us like never before. And specifically for many of us that may have encountered that, maybe this has been a tough year, maybe you look at 2018 and it didn't go quite the way that you wanted it to go. Maybe you found yourself even in recent weeks or even recent months and just struggling with adversity. And man, God just spoke real strongly last week that this is a time that he wants us to enter into a power of peace like we've never known it. And so all this week, that's all I've been praying over you, is just peace in your life, peace in your families, peace with your kids, peace in your marriages, peace on the job, because this is what God wants to do for us, and he wants us to be able to live a life of peace. But the earth cannot bring you peace. Only God can bring you peace. And so I'm praying that you receive this gift this Christmas, because I love what Jesus said. How many like opening gifts? Like, how many enjoy gifts and opening gifts? Okay, yeah, I mean, to me, that's the fun of it all. And Jesus said this. He said, "I'm leaving you with a gift." And it's a pretty radical gift, because it's one that I think you and I need all the time, not just sometimes. And he said, "I leave you with a gift, and it's peace of mind and heart." Because Jesus knew exactly the struggles and the tension in this life that was always going to grab and try to steer away our focus. And that's the things that go on within our mind and the things that go on within our heart. And it goes on to say, and the peace, Jesus said, I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. The Christmas season is a great time for many, but here's the other thing I realize. It's a hard time for many as well. I love this time of year. And some of my favorite memories as a kid is during Thanksgiving and Christmas time. But I don't think it's that people hurt more during the month of December. I just think they become more aware of the pain. They become more aware of some of the relationship struggles and some of the financial issues that sometimes that we can have. And when I was thinking about this message this week and even next week, I've really just been praying and asking the Lord specifically what it is that He wants me to talk about. And today was, I think, something powerful, because as we looked last week, we opened up this series, It's a Wonderful Life, and we talked about the context of that movie. I don't know if you got to see that movie. It was actually on during this week. I got to catch some of it. But we talked about George Bailey. That's kind of where we got the inspiration from. And I read just kind of the context, a little bit of that movie, and his guardian angel, Clarence. All right, my man Clarence showed that picture last week, who they are, and how, you know, George was in a place that he was trying to throw away his life. And God comes on the scene, sends his guardian angel to awaken him to understand that, man, your life is purposeful. And if you hadn't been around, man, a lot of people's lives would not be changed and impacted. And so all of our lives are meant. All of our lives are valuable to God. And so today, I just wanted to kind of get to the source and ask the question, and that is, why don't you have peace? Why don't you have peace? Because this is a question I thought about all week long. And I thought, man, I'm going to throw this question out there to us. And I'm going to have it on the screens, because it's just been just that thought that I've just been constantly going around with. And that is, why do we only rest in peace? Why don't we live in peace? You've probably heard people say, you know, especially at a loved one's funeral, that may you rest in peace. Have you ever heard that saying, right? And but why don't we live in peace while we're on the earth? You know what I'm saying? So this is a thought I've been thinking about so much this week. I thought, okay, Lord, I just don't want to rest in peace when my time is gone. I want to live in peace today while there's still breath in these lungs. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? And so one of the challenges that I think at Christmas time are people. How many know people can be a challenge? And how many know people can also be a blessing? But they can also be a challenge. And for some of us, we may find ourselves at odds with people. Could be in your family, could be a friend, could be on the job, and you're finding that it's robbing you of peace. And I think it can happen very quickly in a relationship. We can go from, man, giving God glory to, man, what'd you say? You know what I'm saying? And just kind of that quick it turned. I'll never forget a story, Pastor Rick Bizet. I haven't told this in a while, and so if you've heard it, just laugh again with me, all right? But it's one of my favorite stories to tell. And but Pastor Rick Bizet, a good pastor, friend of ours, pastors down in Arkansas, and he helps with our At the Movie series, too, when we do that. But he was driving down the road one day. He said, I got on the interstate. There's four lanes on the interstate. And he said, as I was driving on the interstate, he said, man, there's this guy that was just tailing me. How many know, man, it just gets on my nerves when people ride that close to me. What about you? Yeah, it's like, Lord Jesus, like, why are you that close? And Rick said, man, there are three other lanes. Like, just get in the other three lanes. Why you got to get right behind me, you know? And he said, so finally the guy goes on the other side of him, and there's the awkward moment where he slows down. How many know, you ever had the awkward moment where somebody behind you does something, or maybe it's you that does something, and then you kind of have that moment, that decision where either I'm gonna look at you, we're going to make eye contact, or I'm just going to keep looking forward. But if we make eye contact, this could get awkward real quickly. And so, even though I'm in another car, and so Rick says, well, I just thought I'd look at him because I want to know the guy that's tailing me, because this is getting on my nerves. And he said, so the guy comes up, and he said, and I look at him, and he looks back over, and then he told me I was number one, man. He gave me the bird, and Rick thought, man, I didn't even do anything to you. Like, what's your problem? And Rick said, I looked again. The guy looked again. I looked again. He looked again. And Rick said, I realized I know him. And not only do I know him, he goes to my church. More of the story. Don't flip off your pastor on the interstate. Because it could be me. You know what I'm saying? It could be me. And but just that quick, people, can be finicky sometimes. And that's my point in just saying that, man. In Psalm, how would you like to go to church that next Sunday? You know what I'm saying? I'd probably be avoiding my pastor on that. Like, you didn't see me. You know, I'm sick that Sunday. You know, but Psalm chapter 120 says this: "Too long I have lived among those who hate peace. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war." Man, let us be a people that chooses to be a man or a woman of God of peace. It's interesting, I want to give you some stats today that I think are just very interesting. We've had 3,510 years of secular recorded history, 6,000 that are recorded in the Bible. There have been 14,351 wars that have been recorded. That's an average of 4 a year. There's recorded now 3.6 billion people that have died in war. 8,000 peace treaties that have been signed, all broken. In 1945, the United Nations was formed to provide peace for all succeeding generations, but they have not succeeded, they have failed. Someone once said this, made this statement. They said that peace is that glorious moment in history when everyone stops fighting to reload. And there's a struggle that goes on within us. And I'm just titling the message today, "The War Within." Because I think oftentimes we don't have peace in our life because of the fight and the struggle that's going in within our hearts and our life. And it's the will of God. It's the will of God for you to live in peace, not to live in constant turmoil or in constant war. The enemy will try to convince you and I that there is no thing such as peace on this side of eternity, but that is a lie from the pit of hell. And it is God's will for you and I to live in a place of peace. And some of us may be going through conflict today in relationships. It may be somebody on the job. It may be a neighbor. It may be a family member. And I don't know if you've ever had a full-scale war with someone, but it usually happens in stages. The first stage, if you have your notes there, you can jot this down, is distance is created. Because it usually begins with something relatively minor, and then what happens is it creates distance. It could be a disagreement that happens, and it creates a distance between you and that person. It could be a distance of a thought, a distance of belief, a distance of maybe just even neglect overall in the relationship. I've even watched this happen in marriages. I've seen great distance come between husbands and wives. I've seen distance come even between parents and their kids. And it happens at all levels. It happens in countries, in nations. It happens in religions as well around the world. Distance comes. And then walls begin to get put up. And these walls, we do this because we think we will protect ourselves from future conflict. But what happens is honestly, we begin to deteriorate and it makes things a lot more worse. And so we go from a place that we surround ourselves with wall. And let me just say this, it is the lie of the enemy to get you and I to believe that isolation is the best way to live. Listen to me, church. Can I pastor you on this Sunday for a minute? The enemy will do everything. He will be relentless in attacking your relationships because it is part of God's equation in reaching the world. So he is going to do everything he can to see relationships destroyed. And then it goes from a place we put up walls to a place of escalation. That all of a sudden something that seems so small has now become something much bigger than it actually is. The truth now is getting stretched. And let me tell you something. This is where the devil steps in. This is where the enemy steps in. And this gives him an incredible opportunity to deceive you and to deceive even others. Escalation happens. And it moves from a place of escalation to a place of false belief. That we start believing lies. We start thinking things like, man, they don't love me anymore. They're not for me anymore. Wondering if they're even being faithful, even in marriage relationships. We start adding to the story. And we start believing things that are not true. We start believing lies. And we create this false belief that begins to just grow and grow. And it's dangerous. And here's why it's dangerous. Because it embodies the only weapon that Satan has. And that's a lie. The Bible calls him the father of lies. And so we give him ammunition against us. And then these last two things are things that I think that we see oftentimes. And here's what I'm saying before I get into these last two, that I think this can be very helpful. It may be helpful for some of us today, or it could be helpful in future, in the future, in situations or relationships. That I think this could be a go-to, to be able to help us understand, man, am I seeing these things in my life? Even today, are there things in their conflict within my life and in my relationship that some of these are being played out that I need the peace and the help of God with? The next place is a time of just hostility. The question is today that you have to answer is am I at peace in my soul today? That's not for anybody else to answer but you. Is there peace in my soul? David was in a place where he made that statement. He said, why so disturbed, O my soul? David was in a place that he understood this. Because hostility isn't the emotion that you feel towards that person. It becomes the condition of your soul. And it becomes this ongoing challenge. And here's what I'm saying today. And I think this is so important. And this is why I was so proud of you guys, for many that came down for prayer this morning. Because, man, Pastor Kyle even looked at me and said, man, you could tell, man, God was moving on this. This was needed for us, all of us today. And it's so true, because we're all in a place that we need help. We're all in a place that we've got to continue to remain in a place of being teachable and being pliable. And so I think it's so important that we get honest with God. Here's what I know about God. God already knows the situations. He already knows everything that's going on. He's just waiting for you and I to get honest. And God, listen, God isn't looking for perfection. God is looking for honesty. And God can work with anybody who's honest about situations. And so he already knows what's happening. So I want to just dedicate this message today to every person today that may be struggling within your soul and not having peace. Because before you leave this place, man, I've been praying so much for us that by the time we leave this place today, we leave with greater peace in our life like never before. Do you believe that today? Amen? And then here's, man, where it goes. It shifts from the stage of hostility to the stage of all-out war. That I'm at war with them. But truly, what happens is you're at war with yourself. And the reality is you're actually at war with God. Because here's what it indicates. Listen to me. I just want to help us today. I want to help pastor us today. Because here's what happens. You think you're at war with the person, but really you're at war with yourself. And you're at war with God, because it indicates that things are not submitted to God. That's the indication. The indication is when you handle things out of your feelings, out of your emotions, instead of going to the Word and going to God, it is a strong indication that you have not yet submitted those things to God, and therefore you're acting out of what you think is right and not what God thinks is right. I'm just trying to help a few people, including myself, all right? And my reaction, here's what I know, my reaction to things is a direct result of my surrender or my lack of surrender to God. And so when I've been hurt, listen to me, so when I've been hurt, if I don't submit that to God, I in turn will hurt others, because hurting people hurt people. And so that's just what happens. Let me say it this way. If you never heal from what hurts you, you'll bleed on people who didn't cut you. And man, it can impact and it can wreak havoc on the lives of innocent people. And the Bible says this. In James chapter 3 and verse 14 through 16. But if you harbor, that word harbor just literally means to hold on to. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. In other words, here's the thing. I've been praying really against this today. That there may be some of us today that may leave here saying, man, I can't do that though. I can't do that. And actually what you are doing is keeping yourself from peace by denying the truth. Okay? And so it says, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is, look at this, it's earthly, unspiritual, yeah, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. We live in a generation that says with this mentality is revenge is sweet, baby. I'm going to get you back. But the Bible says it's earthly wisdom and it's of the devil. That's not my word. That's his word. And so what I'm believing for today is for God to lighten the load so that we can leave with a peace that maybe we haven't had in a long time. You mean to tell me, Pastor, that I could leave with that amazing peace? If you get honest with God and if you make the decision that I'm going to surrender what's going on the inside of me, because I see that God can handle this a lot better than I can handle this. So I'm going to not stew on this, but I'm going to allow God, I'm going to surrender this thing fully to God, and I'm going to let him run with it, because I'm choosing to do the word of God. I'm not going to choose to do what I think I should do. Amen. And so how do we settle that war, that inward war that rises up from time to time within us? I think one of the things that we have to realize is the power of what Jesus Christ came to do for you and for me. The Bible says this in Ephesians 2. It says, remember that at the time that you were separate from Christ without hope and without God in the world, but now, everybody say, but now. In other words, when Jesus comes into your life, you ought to be different. If you were messed up and received Jesus and nothing in your life has changed, then maybe you really haven't received Jesus yet. Okay? Just trying to help us, all right? Christianity is not a club, and it's not a place that we just meet on a Sunday just because it's a good thing to do. No, it's part of God's idea in equipping his saints and equipping the people to get mobilized and go do the work of the ministry in the world. And so here's what I know. When you meet Jesus, things change in you. In other words, I don't want to go back to the mess that he saved me from. I'm trying to get away from that, trying to flee that stuff so I can pursue godliness. God's not trying to make you and I better. He's trying to make you holy. And so as we embrace his purpose and we embrace what he wants for our lives, all of a sudden I don't have a taste for those things any longer, because I'm trying to pursue a life that God has called me to and has ordained me to. And that stuff ain't got nothing for me. Amen. And so we need to get this, and it says, so, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been near, brought near through the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. I love that song we sang today, the last song. I will boast in Christ the Lord. We in that song is that old school hymn, nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's nothing but the blood of Jesus. That it's because of that blood that we're forgiven of our sins, that we're brought closer to Christ. And it goes on to say, for he himself is our peace. In other words, meet God, meet peace. That's what it is, all right? Who has made the two one. In this day, God made the Gentiles and the Jews one, because God was tired of all the fighting going on, all right? And has, look at this, check this out. And has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Do you notice that scripture in the stages we just listed? Hopefully this is making sense to us. Because God sees this for what it is, but it's the heart of God to see the walls brought down so that true freedom can come, so that true purpose can come, so that destiny can be revealed. But if we've got all these things up around us cluttering our vision, and I don't know about you, for those that wear glasses, understand the struggle is real, because we always having to wipe off the glasses. I mean, like, I can see all the spots in my frames right now because of these bright lights in my face. Like, Lord, have mercy. When's the last time I've wiped these bad boys? You know what I'm saying? Like, Lord. And so the struggle gets real if we don't allow God to help remove the smudge and remove what's cluttering our vision. And staying focused on his mission. And that was the mission of Jesus. The mission of Jesus and what he does in us. So if we're in a place that we find that we don't have peace today, it may be because there may be an area or areas within our life that has not been submitted or surrendered to God. And here are some truths that I want to give you today that I really, truly, in my heart believe will help bring peace to your life and will help settle the war within. How many are ready to settle some things in your heart and in your life? Amen, everybody? Number one is this. Jot this down. You won't find peace until you make peace. You can't settle your issues with yourself. Can't do it. Without settling issues with others. You cannot have peace if you refuse to settle issues with people. And this is really important because, again, the enemy will try to convince you and I that, no, whew. Pastor, you don't know what they did. Now, you'll know what she said. And we get all caught up in all this stuff, which is, I'm telling you, is a ploy of the enemy to keep you and I held back. And what happens is when we allow hurt and unforgiveness turn into a root of bitterness. And that gets ugly. Because we start living our lives in such a way, because we've never dealt with the hurt and we've never really dealt with the issue with the person, we've now given that person, whether you want to admit it or not, occupancy in our brain, and we make decisions in spite because of what happened in that relationship or that situation. And so what happens is again, the enemy does what he can to manipulate it, continue to lie about it, but it's the truth of God that brings freedom. And that we have to apply the principles of what God has said, or we'll get trapped. And so God wants you free, and God wants you living with peace. God doesn't want you to have to wait until your final breaths to enter into peace. He wants you to have peace on this earth. Come on, somebody. All right? He wants you to experience that. And here's the other side of it, is continuing to remember that my war is not always with people, but my war is against the adversary, and his name is Satan. That there is a spiritual enemy that is doing absolutely everything that he possibly can. We looked at this in week one, John chapter 10, verse 10, that Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. So here's what I'm saying. We've got to quit living on the defensive side of things, and we got to start getting offensive on the side of things. We've got to start learning how to press in with passion in the area of prayer once again to see God's power come and move on our situation. It's only through the power of prayer that things are going to change. It's not, listen, you can sing a song all you want. You can dance around all you want, but until you get passionate about the power of prayer, nothing will change. It's in the place of prayer. Right here this morning, and the needs that we pray. Listen, I've never seen so many written needs this week. I mean, it's unbelievable. We were praying for these at the office this week, and then right here at Sunday morning prayer, most of this stage up here is filled with people in prayer requests, some believing for cancer to be healed, some believing for marriages to be restored, some believing for their kids to come back to Jesus, some believing for them to come out of debt, some believing for job situations to change. Listen, that doesn't just happen by itself. It happens when there's a people that get passionate about the power of prayer and seeking God in his face. Man, I come ready this morning, if you can't tell. And here's the issue is people think, and many times many Christians think, that it's okay not to settle things because they think they are right, and that's earthly thinking. The Bible says this in James 3, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. When you let Jesus make you pure, look what happens. Then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. The result of peacemaking is righteousness, meaning things are made right in you. That's peacemaking. God's righteous standard brought into anything will help you to have peace. Peacemaking produces righteousness. Righteousness produces peace. They are connected. If you want peace, you're going to get some righteousness too. But God's righteous standard, all right, God, bring God's righteous standard into it, into your home, into your marriage, with your kids, on the job, whatever it may be, and peace will come. But we have to, and that's why we teach things like blessed life, because when you put God at the center of everything and declare that he really is Lord of all, then we will do things according to God's way and his standard and not our way. What happens is when we face trials and situations, we don't pray first. It's a last resort. And God is trying to get us, and here's what we're trying to do in these last few weeks of December. The Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, we're going to not only end 2018 strong, but God is wanting to do something just substantial, I believe this, exponential in this next year like never before, but it's going to take a different level of prayer. It's going to take us to go to another place spiritually that we haven't been. And we've got to learn how to be okay with what we're not okay with sometimes, that may seem uncomfortable sometimes. And we just got to trust the leading of the Holy Spirit. Listen, because God's never going to lead you astray. He's never going to lead us on a wrong path. We just got to trust his leading, even if it doesn't seem like the perfect situation, or even if it doesn't seem comfortable at the time. I'm telling you, Jesus said this in Matthew 5. He said, blessed. The Greek word blessed is the word happy. I like that. How many like to be happy? Yeah, I like to be around happy people. Blessed or happy are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. So how do you make peace? Man, you got to be a peacemaker. You've got to settle it. Number two is you make peace through reconciliation. I love this word. And I love this scripture I'm going to share with you in just a moment, because this is a powerful truth. So many people don't want to do this, and it's why they never find peace. It's why it's a constant toiling back and forth, and seems like I read that scripture last week. It seems like history just, in Solomon and Ecclesiastes, it's like history just merely repeats itself. It's a horrible way to live life with your life just stuck on repeat. Man, I don't want that. I want to go as far as God has for me. And if that means dealing with some things, then let's get them dealt with. Reconcile, here's what it means. If you're taking notes, you may want to write this down. It literally means to bring the balance to zero. If you reconcile your bank statement, you bring it to zero. The only way to make peace is to bring the balance to zero. That's why conflict resolution rarely works. You don't resolve conflict, you reconcile conflict. You bring the balance to zero. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 reminds us that love keeps no record of wrongs. That's love. How many know our Heavenly Father does that perfectly for us? Amen? And so, I'm not, and you need to hear me today, I'm not saying this for them. I'm saying this for you. All right? So when we're thinking about these things, and as the Holy Spirit's talking, it's not about them. It's about God talking to us. Because I'm so thankful that Jesus didn't resolve our sin. Now, he didn't resolve it. He reconciled it. He wiped the slate clean. Guess what? We owed a great debt because of our sin, but thanks be to God, because it's why we celebrate Christmas too, that he sent the greatest gift that he ever could to humanity by giving us his son Jesus, who became sin for us. And because of the price of Jesus, guess what? And when we receive the free gift of salvation and of Jesus, guess what he does? Wipes the slate clean. You and I owe nothing. He says, guess what? Guess what, Kyle? Guess what, Bethany? Guess what, Sherry? Guess what, Mike and Jerry? The slate's clean. You don't owe anything. You've been forgiven, past, present, and future. That's the love of a father, everybody. Amen? Zero balance. Everybody say zero balance. Look at the person next to you and say, bill's been paid. Come on, bill has been paid. Psalms chapter 130 and verse 3 tells us that, and this is such a great verse, I love this verse, if God kept a record of sin, who could stand? Woo! Man. Because how many know we all got a lot that could be recorded, but I'm so glad that he don't record that. Because we've been covered by the blood of Jesus. We've been reconciled. We owe nothing today. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, and this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Look at this, look at this. Don't miss this. Who gave you and I the ministry of reconciliation. He said, in other words, Kyle and Mike and Sherry and Eric, he said, I want you to take the ministry of reconciliation and give it to others. You should do that too. Because if I do that, if I do it to you, Jesus is saying, again, you need to do it to others. And listen to this. If you read throughout Scripture, God has a hard time with those who receive but don't want to release it. What Jesus was asked by an expert in the law. He said, Jesus, what's the greatest law? I tried to get him hung up on this. And he said, I can't give you one. There's two. Love God and love people, because the two are connected. They're one. 1 John says, anyone that says they love God but hates their brother is a liar. So it goes on to say that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Listen, I'm not here saying that what happened wasn't wrong or wasn't hurtful, because I'm sure it was wrong, and I'm sure that it was hurtful, but I am talking today on how to help your soul, how to help bring peace in your life. I've just learned the power of forgiveness is not saying what happened was okay, but it's releasing the terms to come off me, giving them to God so that I can move forward in my life and God can do whatever he needs to do in that situation. Okay? Number three is this. So let me just say this. Commit to reconciliation. The movie, the great movie with the great theology of Frozen, had it right when she said, let it go.
Let it go. Don't hold it back anymore. Come on. It's funny, but it's true. Quit holding on to stuff. For some of us, it's family stuff. For years, we get freaked out every holiday season because we're with that person. But how about maybe this Christmas, you step to the plate and say, no, I'm going to be a man or a woman of peace. Enough is enough of this. Reconciliation is what I've been called to minister to, so I'm going to release it because he's released it to me, so I'm not holding on to it. I'm releasing it. I'm giving it away. God's been too good to me. I'm going to let it go. Look at the person next to you and say, let it go. Let it go. I'll sing that song later, all right? Here's the final one, number three. Is you cannot reconcile until you've been reconciled. Some of us are thinking, say, man, Kyle, woo! It seems impossible. It seems tough. But here's the thing. You have to trust him and his word. You have to trust his principle. Be reconciled to God. That love gives you the capacity to love. And here's what happens. When that happens, a miracle takes place. Something supernatural on the inside of you begins to shape as you declare and surrender. Proverbs 16 says, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, not by your behavior, through your relationship, your ways become pleasing. Don't miss it, okay? He makes even his enemies to live at peace with him. I love Psalm 23 that says, when the Lord is my shepherd, because yeah, you're going to have enemies in your life and some people that just ain't gonna like you. I get all that. But even in the midst of that, keeping God the shepherd and trusting him and his word and his ways, because he prepares a table in the presence of my enemies, that regardless of what is going on, the great shepherd is the one leading my life. I'm not leading my life. He's leading my life. I'm not making decisions in spite of what I think is right or my experiences have told me. No, I'm going to go to prayer. Nope, I'm going to go into the place of the word, and I'm going to seek him, prayer and the word, and get his counsel on how to live. And I'm going to embrace that living that he says for my life. Amen, everybody. Would you bow your heads? I want to pray for you today. I want to pray over two things. I'm going to give an opportunity. If you don't know Christ, in just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to know him today. But as I've been praying and thinking about this message, maybe you're in a place today that you realize, man, there's been a war within, and it's been there for a while. Maybe it doesn't even matter how long it's been there, but you recognize it today. But God's just looking for some honesty today. Is there anybody that says that, man, I need this peace today that you're talking about, Pastor Kyle? Come on, is there anybody? Yeah, let me see your hands. Yeah, there's hands going up all over the place. I said, man, I need this. I need this peace. Yeah. So, Father, right now, you see every person. You see all these hands that just went up. Father, I pray right now more than anything. God, forgive us for just trying to do things our way. God, we repent of that right now. We just repent of that right now in this place. Forgive us, God, of just trying to handle it the way that we thought we should handle it. But today, we're going to make a decision to embrace your word. And we choose the ministry of reconciliation today. We choose to reconcile because we've been reconciled. And so, Father, I'm asking you today, by the power of your Holy Spirit, let peace come. Let peace come. Let peace come in the name of Jesus in this place. Father, I even declare right now, for some, that burden that's been on us for so long, that right now, even just within our heart, that we just declare, God, take it. Come on, some of you just need to say, God, just take this. Take this. You can talk to him right here, right where you're at, and just say, God, I'm not handling this on my own anymore. I release control so that you can be in control. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your ministry right here today. You've been in this service with us so powerfully. Thank you for peace. Thank you for your presence. Some of you need to just sit in peace right now. Father, we thank you that we can live in peace. In the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you. And we desire you. Help us now to move forward. As we leave this place today, that we leave this place with a lighter load and with a greater peace like never before. Let today be the beginnings of a movement in our heart, a movement in our families, a movement on the job and relationships. God, we need you, and we want you, God, in our life. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, just want to give you an opportunity today before we leave this place. If you don't know him personally, on the count of three, I'm just going to ask you just to raise your hand and say, man, that's me. Because your first step is exactly what we just said in this final step of you can't reconcile until you've been reconciled. And so for some of us, that's your first step today. All over this room with every head bowed on the count of three, if that's you, just slip up your hand. One, two, three. Real high and say, man, that's me. That's me. That's me. Yeah, gotcha, man. Praise God. All right, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Just mean it from your heart and say, Jesus, I give you my heart. I repent of my sins. I turn from those things today. And I receive the God life that you have for me. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.